All right, Alexander, we need to talk about Judge Sullivan. And let me take you to the Gateway Pundit and title for their article on this story. Sidney Powell hits back against Judge Sullivan's dirty political move to delay Flynn case. Proposed amicus brief has no place in this court. So just when we were saying that Flynn is free to go, and it looks like he will be vindicated, Sullivan seems to have intervened in a very sneaky and devious way. What's going on here?
Well, I think it's actually even sneakier and more devious than perhaps most people would appreciate. What this is all about is that we were supposed to have a sentencing hearing coming up in which Judge Sullivan was going to decide what the sentence was following Flynn's guilty plea. Now, as we know, all sorts of things have happened. All kinds of revelations of malpractice by the FBI have floated to the surface. The Justice Department has withdrawn its case against Flynn, and it now says this is the prosecution body, that Flynn is a innocent man. So what happens? The Democrats go mad. They talk about politicized justice. Barack Obama makes an extraordinary comment, which we've talked about. We've explained some of the background to it about how this is all unprecedented and it's unheard of for somebody accused of perjury to be found guilty of perjury to have charges dropped against them. By the way, before I proceed, I should say Obama is actually wrong about that. And I sent you a very, very detailed article by none other than Jonathan Turley, who's rapidly becoming Professor Jonathan Turley, a law professor, rather better, I think, at law than constitutional law than Obama is. Anyway, he goes through vast numbers of case authorities pointing out that strictly on what Obama says, he is wrong. But he also points out that, in fact, Flynn wasn't, in fact, charged with perjury. He was charged with fraudulent misstatement to the FBI, which is a different charge entirely. But we won't go into the details of all of that. So Obama says it's unprecedented, it's unheard of, it's outrageous, it's political. And what happens is that Emmett, a few days, sorry, Sullivan, a few days after this decision is made, what does he do? He postpones the hearing to allow an amicus brief. Now, an amicus brief is a brief which somebody who is not part of the case submits to the court in order to assist the court to understand the issues and to come to a decision. They are very rare in the United Kingdom. They're more common, but not very common, but they do happen more often in the United States. And up to now, Sullivan has consistently refused to accept any amicus brief from anybody at any stage in the Flynn case. Sidney Powell said there had been 24 requests for from people to submit an amicus brief, nearly all of them apparently on Flynn's side, and Sullivan has refused every one. This time, when a group of lawyers, us Democrat lawyers, are submitting an amicus brief which is against Flynn, suddenly he's decided to accept it. Now, I wonder if what Sullivan is going to do or is thinking of doing is that he's going to accept the brief, accept whatever legal arguments are contained in this brief, refuse to dismiss the case, in other words, refuse the Justice Department's request to dismiss the case, and goes on by himself to sentence Flynn. Now that would be explosive, but he has been, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to use straightforward language here. I think he has been consistently biased against Flynn throughout this case. I mean, he made what I thought was an outrageous speech at Flynn at one point, where he basically called Flynn a traitor and pointed to the flag of the United States and accused Flynn of betraying the flag, which is completely not true and was not even alleged by the prosecution. And yet Sullivan said it. So I just have to say, I wonder whether Sullivan hasn't taken a green light from Obama, is now going to accept legal arguments, which, by the way, are wrong legal arguments, and is going to just go ahead and sentencing Flynn, despite the fact that the Justice Department says he's an innocent man. And that would be most extraordinary and very remarkable, but it would not surprise me in the slightest.
Well, I mean, Powell has cited that Sullivan and A.G. Holder, you know, have a very strong connection. And, you know, she cited their track record as well, saying that, you know, the amicus briefs have no place in this case whatsoever. And she referenced A.G. Holder. So when you talk about A.G. Holder, obviously you're talking about Obama and Obama's hand in all of this. And going on that point, Alexander, there's also a group that is called, let me pull them up, the Watergate Prosecutors, which have filed a brief opposing the DOJ's dismissal of the Flynn case.
Yeah, what and, a name. What a name, by the way, the Watergate Prosecutors.
And let me give you a little bit more info on them. One of the members of this group called the Watergate Prosecutors, Jill Wine Banks, and I quote this from the Gateway Pundit piece, Jill Wine Banks is a crazy Russian collusion truther who previously said, and I quote, Flynn will get immunity for kidnapping. She actually sent a tweet that said, Flynn gets immunity for kidnapping. Jill Wine Banks. So that's a Russian collusion truther there. Watergate prosecutors. Holder, which means Obama. The whole thing stinks.
No, absolutely. I mean, so it seems to me. I mean, it seems a bizarre idea that a judge, if this is indeed what happens, if the judge should go around forward to sentencing someone, despite the fact that this is the prosecuting authority accepts that this person is innocent. I mean, they're not, you know, they're not saying that there were problems, but they just say the whole thing was wrong. He is innocent. I mean, I've never heard of such a thing before. But logically, what Sullivan should have done is he should have dismissed the case against Flynn the following day. Instead, he's now accepting this amicus brief from these Watergate lawyers or whoever they are. And why is he doing that? Well, the only conceivable explanation I can think of is that he's looking for legal arguments to try and go ahead and sentence Flynn. Now, I mean, that, of course, if that does happen, I mean, I don't know where we are, but I mean, legally, I presume the Justice Department would immediately appeal. I mean, that would be, Flynn would presumably immediately appeal and the Justice Department would back him. As we know, the United States has a very elaborate appeal process, but I think this could potentially, in that case, go all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States. I presume it could anyway.
Yeah, no coincidence that this all happens after the leaked, and I say with air quotations, the leaked phone call by Obama.
Well,
in reference to Flynn as well. This is all a setup. Once again, another cheap setup.
Well, exactly. I mean, it was, as we've discussed, those comments had both the look of panic about them, but also the look of an instruction. You know, get Flynn anyway. And I mean, it's just terrible. And it's terrible also if my suspicions are right, that Sullivan is taking his orders from Obama. I mean, that's extraordinary. That is politicized justice.
I think it's pretty clear that he is. But talk about politicized justice and a setup, Alexander. Let's switch gears slightly, just a little bit, and talk about the revelation, the latest news via Fox News, that John Brennan, the former CIA deep state anti-Trumper tool, concealed high-quality intelligence, and I quote the words high-quality in quotes, intelligence that Russia wanted Hillary Clinton to win. So we've gone, Alexander, we have gone from Russia wanted Trump to win, and now we have the narrative that Brennan knew all along that Russia and the Kremlin wanted Hillary Clinton to win, and that's why we got the Steele dossier. So let's wrap our heads around that one.
Well, I mean, I have to say, I mean, there've been so many twists and turns in all of this that I'm beginning to lose any sense of like, how should I say, irony about this, because I mean, it just gets ever more absurd. Now, first of all, what was this? I mean, that Brennan has unquestionably concealed evidence of that. I'm absolutely sure. I mean, I don't have any doubt about this. I'm pretty sure that he's concealed evidence that the Russians were probably not worried about Hillary Clinton becoming president of the United States, that they actively wanted Hillary Clinton to become president of the United States, given that Hillary Clinton was going around telling everybody, I mean, in public, that Putin is Hitler, and that the United States would do everything in its power to, break up the Eurasian Union, which the Russians have been painstakingly putting together, and which Uzbekistan, by the way, is about to join. That she was the person who was talking during the presidential election of imposing a no-fly zone on Syria, which would have meant a head-on challenge of the Russian Air Force in Syria. The Russians actually wanted her to win. I mean, that seems to me just too bizarre, frankly. I mean, I think we need to keep a level head here and get Russia off the brain. I mean, I think people need to a good dose of reality and stop looking for a Russian angle to this story. There isn't one. Americans did this to each other. Some Americans, not all Americans, some Americans plotted in 2016 and 17 to overturn the results of a US presidential election. Let's just go on dragging the Russians into this. But, you know, that Brennan concealed something, that I believe, let's find out what it is. I'm pretty sure that it'll be pretty awful, whatever it is. But I'm also sure that it won't show any sign that the Russians were really involved.
Yeah, let me refer you back to an article you sent me about like a month ago from the National Pulse, Alexander. And I think there's a part in this article which summarizes this whole Steele dossier, Russian disinformation, whose side were the Russians on, really well. Because I think at the end of the day, that's where you always come full circle back to Steele and the dossier and how did he get all this misinformation, this P-tape and Alpha Bank misspellings and, you know, all the stuff that was contained in this ridiculous dossier. And there's a part from this article that I want to read you, which I think explains the failed logic in all of this. And it reads like this. If the Steele dossier tapped Russian sources to reveal a Putin plot to harm Hillary, why did it primarily include crazy stuff that hurt Trump? And if it was created to smear Trump, why did the intelligence community rely on it to conclude that Putin was out to get Hillary?
I mean, yeah. It doesn't make sense. I mean, carry on.
Any way you look at it, either side of the coin, the whole thing doesn't make sense.
No.
If anything, if you do take the standpoint this was some Kremlin misinformation, it makes Putin out to be, and the Kremlin out to be, genius masterminds at an unprecedented level to have figured out that this dossier, once again filled with ridiculous claims and misspellings and all kinds of nonsense, would wreak so much havoc on the U.S. political system.
Yeah. And can I just say, they're not genius masterminds on that level. I mean, they're not stupid, but I mean, no one can work it out like that. I mean, it's absolutely impossible. And you're absolutely right. And I'm glad you brought up that passage.
And give it to a guy like Steele, who hasn't been in Russia in some 20 years.
Well, exactly.
So figure that one out.
Exactly. I mean, the simple fact of the matter is, we now know for a fact that several of Steele's sources weren't even Russian. They were Americans. Actually Americans. So, you know, that's including one of them who was, you know, Sussman, who was a lawyer, Perkins Coie, who were Hillary Clinton's, the Clinton campaigns and the DNC's lawyers. I mean, they're not likely to be Russian agents. So, I mean, it just, the fact that some Russians may have said some stupid things to some people that got passed up the steel, for which those Russians, by the way, got paid. I mean, that was the other thing, always to remember, there was money in this. So people make up stories. Russians make up stories. Americans make up stories. British people make up stories. Russians certainly make up stories. And of course, if they weren't in fact Russians, but were Ukrainians, which is highly likely, to coin a much used phrase, then of course they're even more incentivized to make up these kinds of stories. Can I just say one thing? I was in St. Petersburg in June 2016 for the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. I attended several sessions there. There were Russian politicians there, from all the Russian elite was there. American businessmen were there too, by the way. There was a big Italian delegation. There were Chinese people. There were people all over the world. There were lots of Germans too. But, you know, I was there and I was listening to all of these people. I was listening to all the gossip. And the one thing that came across to me whilst I was at SPIEF, that big session, was that the Russians took it for granted that Hillary Clinton was going to win the election. They assumed that she was going to win the election, like everybody. I mean, you know, they'd heard about this, you know, guy Trump, this vivid personality, as I think Putin mentioned him. But, you know, they didn't know much about him. They didn't take him terribly seriously. Very few people outside the United States took Trump very seriously at that time. Given that, as I said, from the Russian point of view, a Hillary Clinton victory was a given. I mean, you know, 100%, that was what they were sure was going to happen. Why would they engage in these intrigues? Why would they try to help her win when she was going to win anyway? Why would they help Trump to win when they were sure he was going to lose? None of this makes any sort of sense to me, and I'm sure it didn't happen.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, Alexander, at all. None of it. But we continue to go full circle on this, dossier, and who was it meant to benefit, Hillary or Trump? The whole thing was a fabrication, in my opinion, yes. A fabrication by Steele and his associates, whoever those people may
be. I'm going to say to one very last thing on this, which is that I know that some of these people that we talk about listen to us. I know that people. I'm not saying any specific. I'm not saying John Solomon listens to us or Sarah Carter, but, you know, I know people like that listen to us. The people who propagate this idea about Russia being behind it all in some way listen to us. Just listen to this. Just get this idea of Russia out of your minds and focus on where the real threads lead you to. Because if you do that, then you will understand this thing better and more quickly. This issue of Russia, which has no reality, is just creating muddle and confusion where we need clarity. And if you just take out this nonsense, this phantom of Russia out of Russiagate and focus on the fact that it is, as Donald Trump, always far more insightful, by the way, about all of these things that he's made out to be. As Donald Trump said, it's not Russiagate at all. It's Obamagate. It's DNCgate. It's Hillary Clintongate. If you start doing that, you will get to the truth much more quickly, and you will understand much better what really happened. All you're doing by constantly bringing up Russia is you're giving Steele, Brennan, Comey, all of those, a get-out-of-jail card, because they can come along and say, well, you know, we got it all wrong. Obviously, there was no collusion between Trump and the Russians, but it was the Russians who made us think so. We were taken in by the Russians, so we're not really guilty of all the terrible things we did.
I completely agree with that, Alexander. My last thoughts on this is, You said it perfectly. Just get back to some simple logic. The DNC, Podesta, Hillary, we know for a fact they paid Fusion GPS, probably paid them a good chunk of change. Fusion GPS probably paid a good chunk of change to Steele. And Steele probably paid a good chunk of change to all his former associates and gossipers and all these people to fabricate all kinds of little stories so he can put this dossier together and just give it back to Fusion GPS. This whole thing has to do with money. That's my opinion of what's going
on.
Steele just, it was easy money for Steele. It was probably easier money for guys in Russia or Ukraine who Steele one day called them on the phone and said, look, I've got this guy Simpson from the US. He paid me $1 million, whatever. I need some stories about Trump and Putin and Moscow. I'm sure these guys sat there and said, yeah, you know, there's this Alpha Bank and there's this, you know, consulate in Miami and you know, all these other things. And Steele, being the idiot that he is, put it all together and handed it to Simpson and said, here you go.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. I mean, you know, pay people $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 and they'll tell you whatever you want to hear. And that's
easy
exactly
money.
What happened. It's easy. I mean, it's what do you know, shooting fish in a barrel. Isn't that what Americans say? I mean, it was, you know, you get what you pay for. And that's all that happened. And as I said, if we're talking about, as I said, the DNC and Hillary Clinton and all the rest, you know, these people are perfectly capable of doing terrible things without dragging the Russians in all the time. As I said, don't give them that alibi, because that's what it will turn out to be. Don't give them the alibi that it was somehow the Russians, when it's perfectly clear who it was.
Maybe they want to give them that alibi.
Well, that's a different story, and that of course has to be the worry. But as I said, let's hope that isn't so, and that people are just so stuck on Russia and can't quite let go. But if it is that, then as I said, they need to let go, because as soon as they do, all the pieces will fall into place much faster.
All right, Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much, guys. Click on the subscribe button, hit the like, share the channel with everybody you know. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and subscribe star. And also go to the Durant shop and pick up some merchandise, magic mugs, t-shirts, all kinds of good things. Alexander, I know you've got a magic mug sitting there somewhere.
I certainly do.
And I wish, going on what you said, I wish Hannity and Ingram and Sarah Carter and John Solomon, and you know, we've said many good things about all of them. Okay, maybe Hannity, not so much, but about all of them, we said good things, especially Sarah Carter and Solomon. Drink from our magic mugs, please.
Absolutely.
And it'll clear up much of what's going on with the Steele dossier.
That is so, so true. Drink from our magic mugs. I mean, you will find them so, so restorative and will give you that degree of level-headedness and objectivity which you need to get you through this incredible labyrinth for people like Brennan. Brennan is a, you know, twisted man. I can say that frankly, a twisted man. It's the labyrinth that he's created. And you need a cool draft of cold beer from a mug like this, or a clear cup of coffee from a mug like this, to be able to clear your mind and to get through that. That's why we've got it right. We got it right. Can I just say this? We got it right from the go, from the get-go. And we didn't have the resources, the investigative resources that people like John Solomon or Byron York or Sarah Carter have. We're not based in Washington. We don't know the people there. We're not talking to people. We had to sit here from our desks in Cyprus and London and analyze it. And we still got there. And we got there because we drink from mugs like this. And of course, if you, our viewers, drink from mugs like this, well, you will achieve the same level of acumen and insight that we have done. That is what makes our mugs so magical. And they're magical because they're also wonderful. They are beautiful. They are strong. They are capacious. You can have lots of coffee or tea or beer or champagne or whatever from hot chocolate. If you have a mug like this, it's light, it's strong, it doesn't chip or crack. You can see that it doesn't discolor. I've had my mugs now for well over a year and a half. This one, by the way, has the badge of Russia's Alpha Force, the sort of people who, if the Kremlin really wants to do something, it calls on, because they are one of the best special forces units in the world. Russians will tell you the best. Well, who knows about that? But certainly one of the best. And our mugs, by contrast, I can say unequivocally, are the best. So our magic mugs. We also have tremendous shirts, 100% cotton, amazing T-shirts like the one I'm wearing now, with the badge of the Durand there, the double-headed eagle of the Durand. They can come both long-sleeved and short-sleeved. We also have V-neck shirts, and we have the world's best polo shirts, which are the most stylish, elegant, and amazing polo shirts you can wear anywhere at all. And we've also got hats, hoodies, and stickers, and we've also got ebooks on amazing subjects, including one on, of course, Russiagate. But not just on Russiagate, also on its horrible twin, Ukraine Gate, and on subjects like Epstein and Brexit and the oil crisis. So come to our shop, buy these amazing things, support the Durand, because we depend on you for your we depend on your support so that we can go on doing these sort of programs and be the proud owner of these wonderful things. And Alex will tell you how.
Just go to thedurandshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.